time for our Fitas Diaries, and today is installment number 8. It is the second last one. Tomorrow will be the final episode of this installment, inshallah. It has been a fascinating journey for myself. I did learn a lot, especially in terms of where we were and where we are and what we need to do. History shapes our future, and a nation without a history is a nation without a future. That's how I see it. So if we don't know where we come from, what was our identity and what we achieved, it will be difficult to look into the future also, because at the end of the day, the problems have only evolved, but the roots of it are the same that were previously found. So we need to look at the history quite thoroughly, and also we need to learn from the history. It teaches us lots of lessons, and when we study the nations, we realize that there's a lot of things that we can do differently. Take a listen to installment number 8.
Fitas, a journey through time. A brief history of Lanasia. Prior to 1961, all housing development was by a private enterprise in Lanasia. Since Lanasia did not fall within any municipal area, it was developed directly by the Group Areas Development Board until August of 1961, and subsequently by its successor, the Department of Community Development. Certain functions of the local authority were filled by the Peri-Urban Areas Health Board until January 1970. In 1961, the Group Areas Development Board began to provide public housing, and by early 1976, the Department of Community Development listed 4,988 housing units administered by itself in Lanasia. The first area people will move to Lanasia was in Tomsville or Greyville, originally an army barracks. It was supposed to provide temporary accommodation to displaced Indians. It remained temporary for over 20 years. People eventually rehoused in Extension 10 between 1979 and 1981 after Tomsville residents successfully staged protests demonstrating against authorities, including a march by residents to the offices of the Department of Community Development. The Greyville-type houses were classified as sub-economic houses for lower-income groups. The economic houses were also for lower-income groups. There are also houses classified as semi-luxury, and luxury houses for the higher income groups, and super-luxury houses, which were either privately owned or privately built houses. Lanasia is divided into different extensions, with each extension comprised of houses of a particular classification type. Extension 2 is comprised of sub-economic and economic houses. Extension 1 is comprised of luxury, semi-luxury, and super luxury homes, as an example. The classifications, however, are misleading. Inadequate housing and facilities affected all extensions and all types of houses. In real terms, luxury houses were as poorly developed as sub-economic houses, and likewise, the extensions of which such houses were a part. Up to 1971, there were 27,373 people resident in Lanasia. It gives an estimation of the amount of Indians that were forced to move to Lanasia. Only a small percentage of this population came from Pageview during this time period, since the majority of Pageview removals only began in 1976. One of the biggest contradictions that emerged at the time of the establishment of Lanasia was the inadequate nature of the housing conditions. Apartheid ideologies were emphasized by the conditions of the non-whites in the urban centers. The apartheid regime claimed that the alternative accommodation that would be provided for non-whites would at least not be in the order of a slum. Yet, at the time of its establishment, Lanasia, like other ghettos, was a slum. There were decent residential areas in Johannesburg, but in Lanasia Extension 2, areas called Mooncap and Thomsville Row, people lived in old army barracks, without piped water and with communal ablution facilities, not even separate lavatories. Not only were the housing conditions bad, but so too were the immediate surroundings. There were vast open felts, fields or open spaces. It was bare and isolated. People of Pageview also had graffiti on their walls, echoing sentiments like, "Don't go to Lens, it's a ghetto." One piece said, "Fight the Ghettos Act." In Lanasia, people also had to contend with increases in rent. that is, increases in relation to what they were used to paying in the city. Sometimes, the rent would be 3 or 4 times as high in comparison. The only thing that was different from Pageview and Lanesia was that people were now staying in their own homes that were on their own names. Also, people were no longer living in overcrowded conditions. And this is one of the reasons people flocked to Lanesia. One of the more serious issues was the roads and their appalling conditions. There were not enough streetlights. There were no traffic lights, the roads were not tarred, and when it rained, the roads were an absolute nightmare. By 1970, the population of Lanesia was pointed out to be over 20,000. For a population of this amount, only 4 buses were servicing the area, 2 coming into the city every morning, and 2 returning to the area in the late afternoon. Between 4 to 7,000 people had to be in the city daily to go to work. The train service was equally as bad. The station, situated at one end of the area, making walking distances to and from homes very far. The transport problem was not only affecting those traveling out of Lanesia, but also traveling in and around Lanesia. There was also a problem with traffic on the way to the city. Highways were not constructed in those days. People had to contend with traffic and very dangerous roads. This problem affected the livelihood of people. Traveling costs decreased income in the homes of families. In addition to the rent, traveling costs affected people very badly. Some came to the conclusion that moving to Lanesia was not a good choice. Many of the aspects have been covered thus far. Find out more about the removals in the final episode of FITAS. A Radio Islam production by Maulana Habib Bobat and Tufail Patel.
A fascinating account of Lanesia and how it was here. This. If you look at the pictures here, it looks like a real township. Wow, and I can't believe it. This very same town today has people that are living in such luxury homes and living in such sophisticated areas also. The area we moved into, Lens, didn't have any roads or electricity in the streets. We didn't even know where we were going to stay or get a house. When it used to rain, the water would go up to at least 10 to 12 inches deep. We had to roll up our trousers to go through it. You couldn't use a car through this. Wow. The township, Lanesia, came into being on an ad hoc basis, and the pioneers to the area found themselves in a barren piece of felt devoid of roads. Yeah, and if you look at this picture here, it's a real township, and one of the comments here, they interviewed lots of people in this book, and this one says, the majority of Lanesia inhabitants lived in a Soweto-type box-like houses. Most of these homes had no electric lights, no inside tap water. We moved to Extension 11, the walls were cracking, the house used to get flooded when it rained, and of course the ground was sinking. I always heard people complaining about not having enough water supply coming through. Some more comments that have quoted here. They were then moved to Lens, a slum, completely felt only. I only saw one house there at that time. It was quite a bare and isolated area. Graffiti on the walls in Pageview said, don't go to Lens, it's a ghetto. There was one bit of a graffiti on the cemetery walls. It said, fight the ghettos. So these are some of the comments quoted here. And then the interesting one is that Tomsville, I did not know Gravel was known as Tomsville, hey? Tomsville or Gravel type of houses were classified as sub-economic houses. And this was just a temporary move, eh? And that temporary move lasted for 20 years. And then people were moved to Extension 10 and other places of Lanesia. Today, Lanesia is a blooming area and it is growing, mashallah, lots of development. But sometimes I wonder, people think they are living in Jannah in Lanesia. The prices they demand, wow, 1.6, 2.2, 4.3. And I'm like, some of the houses are standard council houses. They just did some renovations on it. Manana, 1.3, 1.4, 1.6. And I'm thinking to myself, there's so much of work to be done in this house. It's a standard council house with a little bit of renovation and improvisations done here and there. And a person is asking a price like as if he's holding on to a land belonging in Jannah. So that's lands from where it was to where it is. I mean, for 1.6, you can get a good house, a reasonable house in Ridgeway. And if you're lucky, you can even get a swimming pool and a big yard with it. But Lanesia, the prices have been inflated. Really inflated. For a standard three-bedroom home, you're going to be paying 1.4, 1.5, 1.6. And if you're lucky, you'll get a nice spacious yard. And if you're lucky, you get some gardening space in that. But people are really holding on to their prices. And you know what's amazing? If that house happens to be close to a masjid, then my oh my, then people really hold on to their prices. Even if that man is not a five-time musalli and he does not frequent the masjid, and he comes once in a while to the masjid, he says, but you go to see, what more can you ask for? You go to the masjid around the corner by you, you can read namaz five times. Yeah, mashallah. You know, so people, they're latching onto that price because of it being close to the masjid. And you find non-Muslims also using this card to sell their homes. Yeah, the mosque is close by, you don't have to worry. It's a stone's throw away. You are nicely covered and it's very nice, yeah. So people are really holding onto the prices. This is the very same place where they call the ghettos. And people were not willing to move to. And today we are finding ourselves in a total different situation. Also interesting, they were in the diary installment, they were talking about the transport issue, the train services that people used. And yes, the Indians also used the train services at that time. That was basically the primary mode of transport. And to get to one place to the other, that was the way of going in those days. Train services. I wonder what it was like at that time. So some fascinating accounts coming from the Lanesia diaries also. And this is because the Pageview residents were evicted and they were moved to Lanesia. Involuntary migration took place. And that's how they found themselves in Lanesia. But today, alhamdulillah, many people have benefited tremendously. People who paid 10,000 rents for a house today today they are pocketing over R1 million for that same property, and alhamdulillah they are benefiting. So that's another installment of the Fitas Diary. It's 6:43. We go for a break. When we return, inshallah, the hadith discussion. Some of the interactions coming through on the Fitas segment. It says, yeah, it was absolutely a pleasure and wonderful to go on the trains back then, even in KZN from one town to another town. So safe, just loved it, going with parents and siblings and extended families. Visiting then was welcomed by all, doors of homes were open at all times. Yeah, the only place I went in a train was in India when we went from Calcutta to New Delhi. And that's the time I was in the train, and not in a local train. I said, nah, not in a local train. So we'd rather go in the Rajdhani. You know the Rajdhani? So that's the luxury train, and we enjoyed. We really enjoyed the train ride, and you had your own compartment. They used to serve meals. It was a long journey. I can't remember how many hours it was from Calcutta to New Delhi. I can't remember, but it was a long trip, I know. And it was a pleasurable trip also because we had friends, we had company with us. So it was always fun to sit in your own cabin and used to, you know, take out the chevro and whatever. And we enjoyed that trip basically. But I did not have the courage to go in the local train because you don't know what can happen there. I also, another experience. This was coming from Mumbai to Bharuch. For the second time when I went to India, then we went from Mumbai to Bharuch. And at that time, they forewarned us that when you get in the train, there'll be people that will come in and they'll make what stories, asking you for money. Just be on the alert. And we really thanked them for that because we just got onto the train and the train was just about to leave. And, you know, it will start picking up momentum, and one person just suddenly jumps into your cabin and says, you know, what a tragic incident just happened now. I need money, please. Give me money quickly, please, quickly, quickly. I don't have much time. And for a moment, I thought that man was really, really sincere in what he's doing, and he really needed the money. And then my wife reminded me, remember what they told us. And I said, oh, yes, 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 yes. And then the man, he came again, and my wife did not budge in at all, and then that person had to leave. But he did not score anything. But I know a lot of people are vulnerable, especially if you're a tourist, and you get taken into all this without even knowing. Anyways, that was a quick trip in the in India, and that was some of the memories that I recall of. Some of the messages coming through on the Fitas diaries, and this one reads, Assalamu alaikum, the name Lanesia is believed to be a combination of Lens and Asia. Some Captain Lens owned the area on which Lens is built. Lanesia is thought to have been a battlefield years ago. That's really fascinating. The only event of the year in Lanesia those days was a LMA bazaar. Everybody would come to meet and greet and seek the best bargains. Well, we still like bargains. We love bargains. This message reads, do for the pleasure of Allah and Allah will grant you from His unlimited treasures. Another message reads, kindness makes you the most beautiful person in the world no matter what you look like. This one reads, okay, now the PC is a bit slow. Come on, open up. This one reads, Assalamu alaikum, Maulana, can you please repeat the dua you read before, or you read after meals, the one Maulana read a few minutes ago? Okay. Alhamdulillah, alladhi huwa ashba'ana wa arwana wa an'ama alayna wa afdala. You can always get it from the Muslim dua kitabs, they all have it, inshallah. It brings us to the end of today's edition of Your World Today. It has been a pleasure being in your company. Until we meet again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.